We planted a Japanese cherry tree out in our back, in our front yard. And there was also another one on the main street. And it was blooming. It was giving a lot of blossoms. And I'm thinking about that. We had transplanted a vine over by a trellis. And Kate keeps saying, is that thing alive? Or is that dead? I don't know, because she's not quite sure. You wouldn't look at the Japanese cherry and question, is that alive? Or is that dead? And you put the two together. I'm not sure about this one. It's possibly alive, but it's not showing it. But the cherry tree is showing it with the blossoms, the beautiful blossoms. You know, if you ever go up to D.C. and go at the peak of the cherry tree blossoms, it's really beautiful. But I thought, that is the way we as Christians should be. To the world, we should blossom. They should be able to look at us and say, there's something there that's different than what I see elsewhere. It's life. It's life that's different. When the Lord comes in and saves us, He gives us a new life. We had a friend that Kate's been talking to, and she said, just this past week, she called her and said, my brother, who was, I guess, an alcoholic, or he had all kind of problems. And he said, Sue, I'm changed. Oh, she's not saved, and she kind of said, oh, that's good, I'm glad you're doing better. He says, no, you don't understand. I'm a new creation in Christ. That's what the Lord does when we trust Him as our Lord and Savior. Confess with our mouth that He's Lord. Believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and we're saved. We have a new life. In baptism, where Kim is going to be baptized, she wants to confess that she believes in Him. That He's her Savior and Lord. It's not a shame to do that. And the bath of dunking in the water doesn't change her. It's His Word and His Holy Spirit working within our lives. But that's an outward testimony. That's part of the blossoms that we as believers should portray. And not only blossoms, it promises fruit. We've been studying on Thursday night in Luke where He talks about the sower. And there's all kind of hearers. And some believe for a moment, but never produce fruit. The reality of it, of the truth, of God's Word in our lives, is that it produces fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It changes our lives. And we delight to be more like Him. The world, when it makes up a story about trees and fruit on trees, like the Wizard of Oz, you know, that they go and they take the fruit from the one tree, and the tree's mad about it. And he starts throwing fruit at them. How dare you pull that fruit off me? Starts throwing it at them. That's the way the world thinks it. God made fruit trees for us to eat, for us to enjoy, and all these varieties of things. And in those seeds are tremendous programs, designs, that doesn't just happen by chance. Because God made it for our enjoyment, for our blessing. And He enjoys blessing. He's a giving God. And He gave His own Son. He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, that we all could enjoy that salvation and that so great of salvation that He's provided. But I was thinking, as Bobby asked me to back him up just in case he has problems with his speaking and his throat right now, but I was thinking of Genesis 1 and light. If it wasn't for light, we couldn't see anything. There'd be no color. There wouldn't be anything. God sheds His light every day Okay, and his heat on our globe. But look at Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now this is talking about creation. But it's also talking about the new creation. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 6. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see what Paul is saying there? He's saying we have the truth of what God did in creation and how the earth, without form and void, darkness on the face of the deep. That's man. That's man's heart without God. And sin had come in and darkened because we chose to obey the serpent rather than God and brought in death and darkness in the heart. Look at our day. So much information and so much darkness in the hearts of people. The things that people believe. I mean, it used to be people would say, "That's not true. Common sense tells you not, that's not true." And the elites, the ones who think they know so much, it's more complicated than what you're thinking. You don't know enough. You know, we can explain to you why this is darkness. It takes the light of God to show you who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Not just a good teacher. They debate, did he ever live? Of course he lived. There's no other explanation for the church, for the believers, for the Word of God, for so many other things. Then God himself became man and came here in our darkness to enlighten our hearts. But we were without form and void. There was emptiness, futility, no purpose. I don't know where I came from. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know why I'm here. Everybody's just guessing. Until God says, "Let there be light." The gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. The gospel is the miracle of God. And the word from power and miracle are used the same. A miracle is a power of God beyond the natural powers that are in this world. Salvation is the power of God to go into a dark heart, to work in that heart, and to enlighten it of God's love, of God's light, of our true condition before God, and God's love. And he's providing a way that we can be saved. Think about your own life, if you're a believer. How many people has God used to say a word for him here or there to you? How many people have shared a scripture that's stuck with you? And eventually, maybe you didn't receive it right away, but eventually God used it for your salvation. Sometimes, we heard recently, a brother said his grandmother, years ago, before he had gotten saved, gave him a Bible. And he just carried that Bible around. Never read it. But one time, he started to read it. God worked in his life, and often using his own ways to correct him, his own ways to bring consequences to make him think this is not the right path. This will only bring me to death. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And God uses that to get him to realize that that's a way of death. But here's the way of life. His word. His word is light. His word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, to show us how things really are. I often had said to my wife, I might have mentioned it here, that I didn't think the Lord would use me with my brother, my older brother. He was a year and a half older. We always fought. We always were competing. We were always trying to see who was better athlete, who was better at this, who was better at that. And I said to her, I said, well, when the Lord saves him, and Joe had gone his own way, he said, the Lord saves him, I don't think he'll use me. And he had gone his own way. So I want to enjoy the world. I like the pleasures of sin, but they're only for a season. But one day, he called me up on the phone from New York City. And he said, you know, he was really down. And he said, this Bible Mom gave me underlined this verse in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. He said, I don't understand it. I don't know what it means. You know, and he's looking, searching. God had used the things in his life to realize that only ends up in death. And I was able to pray with him and show him from the scripture that this is God's way of salvation. This is God's light. The Spirit of God moving on the darkness. And God in his grace says, let there be light. In every one of us that are saved, there was a moment that God said, let there be light. And the light of the glory of God shined in our hearts. And we suddenly realized, he's the light of the world. When the Lord told the Pharisees, I'm the light of the world. In John 8, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. The Pharisees at first, they didn't like that. You go up to somebody and tell them you're the light of the world, they might not like it either. But the Lord was saying the world's in darkness. I'm the only hope. If he wasn't God, come in flesh, then he was a lunatic. He was crazy. Who can claim that they're the light of the world? And he goes on talking. If you read the whole chapter, they're getting into this discussion and controversy. And at the end of the chapter, he says that Abraham, they said, you're only so many years old, and have you seen Abraham? He said, I didn't see Abraham. Abraham saw me. But before Abraham was, I am. And they took up stones to stone him. Now, it's easy here to be baptized, to confess the Lord, because everybody here won't take up stones to stone you. But if you're in a community or in a place or in a country where you confess Christ, people want to stone you. I mean, look in our own day. If you have somebody that supports Trump and he has a business, they want to burn up his business, his cars, throw rocks at, scratch them, just because he supported a political leader who they didn't like. Well, Jesus was not a popular person in the leadership in Judea. And the people that confessed him, they had to take their stand against someone that they wanted to stone. And that really tested their faith. Is my faith real? Will I stand the temptation? That was one of the seeds. It was sown by rocks in rocky ground, and immediately grew up with joy, received the word. But as soon as a trial came, withered. As soon as somebody made fun of you, because you said you're a Christian. As soon as somebody mocked you, well, I'm not going to say that anymore because they might mock me. That's the extent of our trial sometimes in this country. But if God said, let there be light, and that light shone in your heart, then that light is what gives energy and life to that tree that blossoms, that produces fruit, that God uses as part of His testimony that over these 2,000 years, there have been blossoming trees in all parts of the world, in all different languages. And they've often produced fruit and have been cut down because people didn't like what they were saying. They didn't like the fact that they wanted to reprint Bibles so everybody had their own Bible to read God's Word. Because the devil knows it's light. And on that light that shines is energy. And it produces life. And God wants to stamp it out. I mean, the enemy wants to stamp out God's Word. There was a time in Egypt when God had brought all kind of plagues on that country. And it was superpower that day. Pharaoh, nobody told Pharaoh what to do. Who was the Lord? I should obey Him. Let my people go. And He brings plague after plague after plague. Well, one of the last plagues, next to last, I guess, says He brought the plague of thick darkness. And there was darkness throughout all of Egypt. A darkness that could be felt. You got a feeling the darkness today? I mean, who'd have ever argued? I mean, you would say, well, you know, I could see people arguing over right and wrong. Because again, they reject the Bible. We reject Him who is truth. But who would have ever thought you'd be arguing over men playing in women's sports? Or what's a woman? Or, you know, your mind is so reprobate that you don't even know what a woman is. You don't even know what a man is. And you're going to sit there and try to defend that position? Thick darkness. But there's a verse there. Israel had light in their dwellings. Israel had light in their dwellings. And if you go back and look at the timeline, it's wonderful to see. The time they had light in their dwellings was the time God told them, take the lamb and bring it in your house. And on that 14th day of Nisan to slay it. During the time it was in the house was the time that Egypt had thick darkness, but Israel had light in their dwelling. The lamb was the light thereof, Revelation tells us, of Jerusalem. Lamb is the light. It's the key in our family lives today. Have the lamb in your family and you will have light in your house. You will see clearly. You won't go through the problems the world is filled with. The difficulties and the mental issues. Because God's Word is true. It's sound doctrine. It's healthy teaching. Follow His Word. Obey His Word. And God will bless you. Have the lamb in your house, and you'll have light in your dwellings when there's darkness all around. But you know, as the Egyptians walk around, they look around and it's all dark. But they get a glimpse of light over here. That's funny. That house has light. They look further at darkness. Well, that house has light. That house has light. What's the common denominator? They all had the lamb in their house. People will see a difference if you let your light shine. The Lord says, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. The day in which we live, He's not here physically. He's here through His Spirit. And His Spirit is still hovering over the darkness, over the deep. And the light that God is saying, let there be light, is our light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Not see your good works to say you earned your salvation. No. See your good works as the result of God shining His light in our hearts, of the salvation that He's brought to us. And we can say we were once in darkness, but we can see. They don't believe you can see. They think you're in darkness, but they see something different there. They should see something different. If you go in a dark room, you light a match, it's different than the rest of the room. And it exposes the rest of the room. It shows what's really there. Use the Word. His Word is light. Be light by sharing His Word. When people say, I say this, my opinion is that, tell them, well, you know what the Bible says. The Bible says this. Jesus said that. Give them the Word of God. And let the Lord's Word be what it is. It's a sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And God will use it for blessing. One last reference. There was a day in the book of Judges when Israel was overrun by Gideon, by the Midianites. And God chose Gideon, the nobody, from a nobody tribe, and told him, I'm going to use you to deliver the Lord's people. And we know the story that Gideon was all concerned. He was so he was nothing. How am I gonna, and God showed him that with him and God, he can do it. Well, he told him, get together a number of people and you're going to surround the enemy. And Gideon got together thousands. God said, no, too many. And God wheeled it down to 300. And Gideon said, 300? Got to use 300? Okay, this is what you do. You get those pitchers and you get those torches. And you use the pitchers to hide the torches. Surround the camp. And all at once, I want you all to yell out, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And break the pitchers. And let your torch, your light, shine all the way around the camp. And the Midianites, they hear this shout, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they see lights. They're surrounded by the enemy. And they don't know who the enemy is. They start fighting each other and just destroy each other. God's way of defeating the enemy. Use the light. Use the light we have. Each one of us, if we're believers, have been given a great treasure. Don't hide it continually under a bushel or under a bed. Don't hide it under your leisure time or your business time. Let people know where you stand. Let them know which flag you salute. The flag of the Lord Jesus. He's the one. It's not in politicians. Though we're thankful for any believer who acknowledges the grace of God and acts on more scriptural principles. We're thankful for that. But the reality is it's God working in the hearts in our own country for people to repent and turn from the way that they're going, from the lies that they're convinced and so that they are so sure of themselves, to realize that that's falsehood. It's the lies of the enemy. The truth has been revealed in God's Word. It's the book that is most printed and least read. Isn't that sad? It's the most printed book and yet the least read. Put up on our bookshelf. Dust it off when you want to find a verse that agrees with your opinion and then put it back on the bookshelf. No, it's the only book that bears daily reading because it's light for us and how we should walk. And we're thankful for Kim that she wants to obey the Lord. That's all baptism is. He says, believe and be baptized. Let your flag shine. Salute the Lord by confessing Him as Lord and Savior. And we're thankful for that. For each one of us, when you honor the Lord, He's blessed and we're blessed. So we just close in prayer. Lord, we thank You for the light that You shined in our hearts. We pray that everyone here is saved that has seen that light and that has heard Your Word to believe who You are, truly the light of the world. And we pray a blessing upon Your Word, upon the baptism and our fellowship supper. We give You thanks in Your name. Amen.